I did put an insert in the bulletin with a couple of scriptures, and it's just because I needed some pictures as I describe a couple of verses. We've been going through in our church in Windsor the book of Genesis, and it's an amazing thing. Genesis chapter 1 is all standard Hebrew narrative. It is history of what God actually accomplished. And that is, it's all standard narrative except for one verse. Genesis 1:27, which says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them." Now, that verse is a Hebrew chiasm. So it says, God created man in his own image, and then it reverses it. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And so on the page, you can see the chiastic structure, and it equates male and female to the image of God. It's an incredible verse, and it says that male and female are equally in God's creation, and yet there is something special about male and female, about marriage, that is a reflection of the image of God on this earth. You know, in 2008, I had the chance to go to the Philippines with my daughter Emily, now Ross's wife. And she was going to spend several months as a midwife in the Philippines to a people called the Butbut people. And amazingly, just 45 years before we were there, and this was quite some time ago that we were there now, these people were still embroiled in headhunting. Tribal warfare ruled. Family life was nearly non-existent. And at that time, a Filipino missionary went to this tribe and preached the gospel to the tribal elders. And by God's grace, they said, "We believe that. What should we do?" And he set up a church and he began to preach the gospel week in, week out. And when we got there, he had been doing it for 45 years. And as the gospel seeped into the hearts of the people, tribal warfare ended, headhunting ended, and family life was transformed. Their treatment of women was transformed. Men began to learn to love. And it was a great honor to speak directly with this missionary when I was there about his 45 years of leading a people into the gospel. And so, men, I bring up this story so that we have a sense of what we are up against. And you know, there are hundreds of stories just like this, of missionaries bringing the gospel and the treatment of women being transformed around the world. In our sinful, fallen state, we as men do not naturally treat women with the honor which is due them as fellow heirs of the grace of life. With the honor due them as children of God created in his image, designed by God for your good, for the good of her children, for the good of the church, and for the good of the world. The natural man is uncaring, selfish, and even brutal. Sinful man naturally takes advantage of his wife for his own desires, and he exploits a woman's weakness. But Scripture says, not so with you. By God's grace, if you are in Christ, you have been made a new creation, washed, sanctified, and called to a new way of life and a new way of loving and honoring your wife. It takes the gospel, and only the gospel will transform your heart in this area of life. You see, living as a godly husband is a gospel issue. to the extent that you live by the gospel, by God's love, by the power of the Holy Spirit, and for the glory of God, you will be enabled to live as a godly husband. But if you cherish sin in your heart, if you hang on to your natural ways, if you don't place your complete trust in Jesus Christ, then wherever else it shows up, sin will show up in this most intimate of relationships. Here in your marriage, you must live as a redeemed man. You must live by the gospel. Now, by the way, although Jesus was never married to a woman on this earth, he is the perfect husband. He is the model for your life. He is a bridegroom, and he has a bride. Revelation 21, beginning in verse 2. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more, neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. You see, this is a picture of what it will be like, the church with her husband, without sin, without pain, and without sorrow. And in 12:2, Hebrews 12:2, it says, Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, endured even the cross. You see, it was a joy for Christ to suffer, even the cross, because he was redeeming his church, his bride, to be his own. Now the question, are you valuable in God's eyes? And the answer, absolutely. Does God love you? Well, more than you could ever know. And I hope you see the point. It was not a drudgery for Christ to endure even the cross to save his bride. It was a great joy. You see, this is how Christ loves his bride, and this is what God expects of you as a man, to love your wife like Christ loves the church, to value your wife the way Christ values his bride, the church, to take joy in your wife the way that Christ takes joy in his church, to sacrifice your life for your wife the way Christ sacrificed his life for his church. Now, do you realize what God has given you in the gospel? He has given you his very self. The end of the gospel is a relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. And likewise, he expects you to give your very self to your wife in love, to live with her according to knowledge. Now let me emphasize what I just said. When we look at the commands which God places upon us as husbands, we must not look inward to our sinful and weak hearts. We must look at the goodness of God. You must feel the goodness of God's love toward you in the gospel, so that your love for your wife will be conformed to the image of Christ, and you won't face the discouragement that comes from just looking at your own heart. You see, Jesus is our model. Jesus is our inspiration. Jesus is our motivation. Jesus is the source of all our help in marriage. And so in this passage, we will consider the conduct in marriage that brings glory to God in three headings: how to dwell with your wife, the motivation to dwell in this way, and the consequences of not dwelling in this way. And so firstly, we consider how to live with your wife. And this passage begins, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way. Now, there is one word translated, live with your wives. And there is a Greek word, katoikeo, which means simply to live in the same house, to live with. But that's not the word that's used here, and that's not the idea. This is the Greek word sunoikeo, and it means to live with your wife in a close and intimate relationship. It means to share lives, not just to share space. In both the Greek New Testament and the Greek Septuagint Old Testament, this word applies only to the intimate relationship between a husband and a wife. And so the word wife is built into the word. This is the fundamental verb and the fundamental command of this verse. Live in a close, intimate, personal relationship with your wife. In other words, give her your very self. And in a sense, we could just stop right here because this would go a long way. Then we read, live with your wives in an understanding way. Literally, the phrase is in accordance with knowledge. And this phrase explains, live with your wives. You are to live in a close relationship with your wife according to specific knowledge. That is consistent with, guided by, specific knowledge. And so you ask, okay, what knowledge? Well, we look at the very next phrase. It says, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel. And this is more literally translated, in such a way as with the weaker vessel, as with her as feminine. And the Greek word feminine is in translation usually rolled into the word wife, but it is definitely its own separate word with its own separate force. The word feminine here means those characteristics which belong to a woman. And so feminine explains weaker. And we need to not get confused by the word weaker. It does not just mean physically weak, but it means weak in the sense of vulnerable, dependent, literally without power. 1 Corinthians 4:10, Paul says, we are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. Now I guarantee you that Paul is not weak, but he is weak in that he comes without human standing. He is vulnerable. He has no human power to command. In many ways, he is dependent. And so to clarify the use of the word understanding here, understanding your own wife's specific needs and personality is good and necessary. If you want to be a godly husband, you must understand your wife, her needs and her desires. But that is not the point of this passage in this verse. In this verse, it means according to the knowledge of how God created your wife to be a uniquely feminine woman. It is a matter of God's design. This is the knowledge that this verse commands you to live according to, in order that you might live in a close, intimate relationship with your wife, according to God's design. And then the phrase showing honor is connected to, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life. And so the reason to show honor is because she is an heir of the grace of life, created by God to be so. The word translated honor means value. And whenever this word is translated honor, it always means honor deriving from value. You see, this is not an arbitrary honor. It is honor specifically dictated by the value that God created in your wife as a feminine woman. You see, you don't get to determine the value of your wife. God did that when he created her with specific value, worthy of specific honor. And so let's pause for a moment. Does this describe your life as a husband? Do you study the scriptures to discern God's specific design for your wife as a feminine woman? Are you a man that shows honor to your wife according to God's design? And it is important to understand that you must show honor to your wife, not only according to a wife's value, but according to the principle of a husband's duty. In Genesis 2:18 says, "The Lord God said, it is not good that a man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him." Now, the word fit there is very interesting. It is the matching piece that fits perfectly so that male and female, created in God's image, reflect God's image. You see, if the woman was made fit for the man, then the man is made fit for the woman. For every weakness that God has given your wife by design, God has given you as a man a corresponding duty. Your strengths are to guard and protect her weakness. Men, you were made for your wife just as much as she was made for you. And so in Genesis 2:24, "Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." And we notice that a man shall leave, a man shall be joined. Men, God gave you the initiative. And so as a husband, when you see weaker in this verse, you should read duty or leadership for yourself. Every feminine weakness commands a corresponding duty from you. And you could look throughout Scripture to see this principle, and it repeats over and over again. And I'm just going to consider a couple of them. First, clearly, God has made a woman weaker physically. And God intends that this weakness call forth a duty in you to protect her. Strength is not a means of control, coercion, or harm. It is your means to guard and protect your wife. Men are soldiers. Men protect their homes. You know, it's clear through God's commandments to Israel that this is the case. Men, you go up against the enemy first. John Piper once put it this way. He says, if there's a noise downstairs and it might be a burglar, you don't say to your wife, "It's your turn, I checked last time." No, you get up, you go down and protect your family. You go up against the enemy. And woe to the men who send their wives and daughters into battle first. Your duty as a protector uniquely enables your wife to live and prosper as a feminine woman. Her energies can be put to love and nurturing. She can be tender in her care. And that brings us to a second area of weakness, and that is the area of temperament. God made your wife to be a nurturer. He made her to care for others, to have a heart that goes out to the weak and the poor. Proverbs 31:20, describing the virtuous woman. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hand to the needy. And I don't know if you ever noticed, but in Proverbs 31:9, King Lemuel pleads the cause of the poor. You see, King Lemuel pleads the cause, but his wife extends her own hands. And I think you can see the personal and feminine touch. You know, I was once studying at a large church in Fort Collins. They have a coffee shop, and they open up their facility. And one day I was there, and I saw a woman helping a severely handicapped man to grind coffee for their coffee shop. And here was a woman speaking, oh, so tenderly and gently, to this man who could barely speak. But he could smile, and his smile was clear. Here was a woman helping this man to feel useful. It wasn't efficient, but it was loving. And I thought, here is the heart of a woman. And I was glad to be in a place that gave room for the tender, loving care for the disadvantaged. And it's not that men can't help others, but we need to be honest. This is the realm where women shine by design. In our family, Pam and I cared for both of her parents and for my mom in the last years of their life. And some of you have probably been through that time, and you know both the rewards and the struggles that it brings. You know the tremendous role that women play in the day-to-day, often mundane, thankless care. And, you know, at that time I did a lot, but my wife was the hero of the story. She nurtured her parents. And did you notice that it was the women that went out to tend to Jesus' body at the tomb? God made women to nurture and care for others. He gave them the emotional temperament so that their hands and hearts go out to others. And I hope you see how vulnerable and in a real sense weak this makes women. How easy it is for uncaring and unfeeling men to take advantage of this temperament, to look only to themselves, to forget their duty, to surround their wives with a stable, loving relationship. And so the question is, men, do you provide for your wives as she cares for children and the elderly? As she cares for those in need, do you care for her? Do you love and appreciate her special gifts as a woman? Do you praise her abilities? Are you thankful for her? And are you willing to work alongside her? Or do you simply send her off to do the dirty work? Every vulnerability in the feminine nature is there because God has given the world a blessing. And likewise, God has given you as a man a corresponding duty to love and protect and provide for her in those blessings. Now, closely related to this, to a nurturing temperament, is a woman's role as mother. And I love my children, and I loved my children when they were little, but there can be no doubt that God gave to women the role of mother. She carries her children in her womb. She nurses her infants day and night. She wipes away tears. She gives kind words. She cares for her children in the early vulnerable years of their life. You see, God made a woman's heart to attach to her children, to be wrapped up in their hurts and pains and successes and failures. You know, it's very interesting to look at Hannah's prayer in 1 Samuel as she pours out her heart, pleading for a son. You know, it's good for husbands to show up at piano recitals and soccer games and all of these things. But when you do, you will usually notice that not one mom is missing. And I hope you see the vulnerability that women carry as mothers. It is usually men that abandon their families, that retreat to their work, that leave their wives to the struggles and trials and tiredness of raising children. And so I ask again, men, are you thankful for your wife as mother? Have you stopped to think about how vulnerable her role as mother makes her? Do you love and support her? Do you understand the need for you to create a stable, loving environment in your home? You are the leader. This is your duty. Especially when she is overwhelmed and tired. Are you there to care for her as she cares for others? You know, and I will say at this point, the trend today of young men postponing marriage for their career and for recreation so they can be a ski bum does a great disservice to godly young women. You see, many young men today have not understood their duty to their future wives to create an environment in which the blessings that God created in the feminine nature, in which they can thrive. Now, of course, God also made your wife to be a wife. And that's a fourth area of vulnerability in her role as wife. The Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him." Now let this just soak in for a minute. It is not good for a man to be alone. And so what a great blessing it is that right from day one, well, day six, but day one of the man and the wife, that God gave a gift in the woman. And I want you to think about the particular vulnerabilities and positional weakness which God has assigned to a woman as a wife. Ephesians 5:22, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord." So men, wives are called to submit to you as their own husbands because you are the leader. You establish the tone in your home and in your marriage. The duty falls to you. And if I look again to Proverbs 31, and we think of Proverbs 31 as describing the virtuous woman, and it does, but I want you to see that the Proverbs 31 woman is matched to the Proverbs 31 man. Proverbs 31, verse 1. "The words of King Lemuel, an oracle that his mother taught him. What, my son? What, son of my womb? And what, son of my vows? Do not give your strength to women, your ways to those who destroy kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, or for rulers to take strong drink." And dropping down to verse 8, "Open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all who are destitute. Open your mouth to judge righteously, defend the rights of the poor and needy." You see, King Lemuel is not just out chasing women and alcohol. He has the duties of a king to attend to. He is not going to pursue those things that destroy kings. He is a king who looks after widows and orphans and all who don't have a voice for themselves. He is a righteous judge. and he is concerned for the poor and needy. And so no wonder such a man is matched to a virtuous woman in Proverbs 31, to a woman who extends her hands to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. You see, this is the very way that King Lemuel rules his kingdom. And the point is this: when your wife is called to submit to you in all things, she is called into your life to be your helper in life. You are the man, you are the leader. You see, if you lead a small and a self-centered life, then this is the kind of life you will call your wife into. If you care only about yourself, well, she may lead a godly life, but it will be in spite of you. In the extreme, consider Ananias and Sapphira. Ananias led his wife to lie to the Holy Spirit, and God struck them both dead. You see, a man whose life is large and generous, full of ambition, family, friends, and serving the Lord, will call his wife into that kind of life, a life that is large and generous, full of family, full of friends, and serving the Lord. And so I hope you see the positional weakness, the vulnerabilities that God has given to your wife as a wife. You see, not only is she subject to your neglect and self-centered demands, but her calling is to be your helper. God calls her into your vision and passions in life. And so, men, how can you honor your wife in her positional vulnerabilities, dependencies of role? And the answer is, you must lead a life worthy of the gospel. Philippians 1:27, Paul says, "Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast with one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." Ephesians 5:25, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water of the word." You see, this verse does not just mean that you need to lead home Bible study. Now, you must do that. That's essential. But the point is that you need to make your life and your home a place where God's word defines the daily course of life. And then you will call your wife into that kind of a home and a life. It is striving together for the gospel. So the question is, does this kind of caring, does this kind of striving together for the gospel define your leadership of your home? It should, and it should by your initiative, because you are the man, the leader of your home. Now, there's one more area of vulnerability, and that is just the intimacy of marriage. It is not by mistake that Matthew 5:28 is directed to men. "But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust after her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you, for it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell." And from ancient times, the baser nature of men exploits women. You may know that in our culture, 70% of young people live together. The views of internet pornography reach into the billions. our culture is reverting to a pagan abuse of women. The very abuse that the gospel went around the world to rescue women from. The command is this: live in a close and intimate relationship with your wife and with your wife alone. Now, let me just summarize this section with the word weaker vessel. You know, God could have inspired any word here. He could have said weaker gender, weaker partner, but it's weaker vessel. The usual word of this word vessel is tied to the vessels used in the temple worship, in the sacrifices. But when the word vessel is applied to people, it always has the sense of what God has poured into a life. There are vessels of mercy and vessels of wrath. You see, the picture is this. Your wife is a vessel into which God has poured innumerable blessings, so that she might pour those blessings out on you, on her children, on the church, and on the world. And how beautiful it is, and how empty would life be without the special blessings that come from the feminine, from God's design of those things that belong to a woman. And you see, by God's design, all of those blessings come with vulnerabilities, with weaknesses. And God has designed you as a man to guard and to protect and to love and honor your wife precisely in these vulnerabilities. You see, as a man, you must create the environment for your wife to thrive. It is your duty. Now, the second point, and these are very brief, is why must you live this way? And of course, the first is because you are joint heirs of the grace of life. And that basically means Galatians 3:28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. Your wife is of equal value in standing with you before God. But the main reason in this passage, which you must live in this way, comes from the word at the very beginning of the verse, the word likewise. Husbands, likewise. Meaning in the same manner. And as I pointed out, this word likewise points all the way back to chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. It is that you might have conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that you may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God on the day of visitation. In other words, this is much bigger than you. It is much bigger than what your wife. It is bigger than your marriage. It is about the glory of God and the eternal salvation of sinners. So I ask, men, is your heart's desire to glorify God, to bring the lost into salvation? Then honor your wives. And I'm going to skip the third point, which is the consequences. And you can read there that your prayers may be hindered. And I'll just say that your wife is God's daughter, adopted into his family. She belongs to him. And it is a serious matter to care for what belongs to God. So let me conclude with this. Are you loving and kind? Are you devoted to honor your wife as God has designed her to be a feminine woman? You know, perhaps you've seen the movie Chariots of Fire. It's one of my favorites, about Eric Little. And he was the man who refused to run on Sunday in the Olympics. And in the movie about his life, at one point, Eric Little is considering his call to be a missionary to China, and also his desire to run in the Olympics. And he says this, he says, God made me for China, but he also made me fast. And when I run, I feel his pleasure. You see, he feels God's pleasure because he is using the special gift that God has given him. God made him fast. Now, men, when your wife is able to live as God created her, when she is pouring out the blessings which God has poured into her, when she runs as a wife, she will feel God's pleasure. And by God's grace, he has given you a role in her life. That your strengths, that your abilities to love and guard and protect and care for her are fit precisely to her weaknesses and vulnerabilities. And finally, who is sufficient for these things? And of course, not one of us. And so in this area of your life, you must live by the gospel. You must live by the grace of God to unworthy sinners. You must look to the goodness of God and to the goodness of the gospel. You must live dependent on him who gives new life. You see, Christ is your justification. Christ is your sanctification. Christ is your motivation. Christ is the model for loving your wife. Christ is all in all in your life. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, that is our prayer, that we might, as husbands, as men, look to Christ, that we might be conformed to the image of Christ, that we might love our wives as Christ loved the church, as you so designed, and that we might create in our own homes, in our own marriage, such a environment of a stable, loving relationship that our wives might run as a feminine woman. Grant this, we pray.